talking sports with Dr. Debbie Strowman, expert on all things athletics and the host of If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill, joining us for what will be our last conversation of 2020, because next week Friday is Christmas, the following Friday is New Year's Day, and by the time we get to the following Friday, it'll be 2021. So we're actually getting close to being done with this year, which I think we're all excited about. Debbie, how are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Certainly it has been a very, very fascinating year for sports. And I have a number of things just to highlight and remember in the midst of the corona, but thinking about some of the biggest deals that have happened this year.
Yeah, walk us
first
through.
First off, the tech winners. I'm thinking about the NBA. They signed a multi-year partnership with Microsoft, which gives Microsoft exclusive category status in artificial intelligence. They've got the cloud, the laptop categories for the NBA, the WNBA, the G League, as well as USA Baseball, and they already had the NFL. I'm thinking about the NFL. They and their players union, they signed a multi-year deal with EA. People who play video games, they know about that, and it's worth $1.6 billion. That tells you that football is not going anywhere. I'm thinking about the big deal maker. Steve Cohen bought the Mets, and it was the highest price ever paid for a North American sports team. So, Aaron, I'm going to ask you, how much do you think it cost to buy the Mets?
Oh, man. Highest price ever paid for a sports team, and it's the Mets? You're sure?
Yeah.
Man, when it's time to sell the Yankees, no one's going to be able to afford it. $2 billion? $2.3.
You are the man. $2.4 billion. Wow, that's awesome.
Nice.
I'm thinking about the craziness of the Major League Baseball. I mean, it's like it's got split personality. So we saw the breaking news where the Negro Leagues are now going to be included in all the statistics. So everybody's clapping and cheering. Yep. Go, you know, Major League Baseball. But on the other side, they continue arguably to be the worst. So Ken Williams is the only black man in charge of Major League Baseball operations for any team, for the Chicago White Sox. I mean, the only black man. And then when we talk about all the, you know, they put up the posters and the statements and Black Lives Matters and we want to be there. Major League Baseball committed $310,000 to five organizations to help fight for racial justice. The NBA, $300 million over 10 years, the NFL, $250 million over 10 years. So that tells you where the Major League Baseball is in terms of really being about lifting up equality and equity. And then, of course, some particular wins. Los Angeles is the city of champions. The Dodgers won, the Lakers won. In terms of basketball, not having March Madness, and then we had the bubble and the wobble for the pro basketball. Lewis Hamilton won seven. Now he has seven F1 titles, and Rafael Nadal won his 13th French Open title. So those are the big ones for 2020.
What do you see going forward into 2021 as being like the big stories of the year? I know we're going to predict now, and 12 months from now, it's going to have been completely different. But what do you anticipate?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how college sports manages with a reduced March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at this beginning of the year with basketball and talking to a number of folks who have leadership positions, it's going to be difficult for us to get through this basketball season.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you need to play 13 games, conference or non-conference, to go to March Madness. And it's really, really difficult to make that happen. So I'm wondering what we're going to do with the reduced contract there, if we end up playing it at all. You know, the LeBron James story continues to just build. I mean, he's arguably the GOAT, and I can say that in Tar Heel country. But when you look at his numbers, and if he's able to get another ring, will it be hands down now that he surpasses Michael Jordan? You know, that's an argument that's out there. And then, of course, when we think about football, I'm really, really happy to see Tar Heels back into, you know, the top of the league to compete with the Clemsons and Notre Dame. But to think about overall football and how they're going to manage still with Corona, So a lot of things, economics, are in play here.
Yeah. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman again, Stroman on Sports Right Now, If You Only Knew, is her show right here on 97.9 The Hills. We're talking about Tar Heel football. We're almost on the end of the Carolina football season. A lot of teams really struggled to make it through and had some real issues with coronavirus. UNC was very lucky and didn't. Whatever protocols were in place seems to have worked. Whatever luck or fortune had to go Carolina's way appears to have done so as well. So Carolina kind of made it through the season with its schedule unscathed and potentially with an Orange Bowl bid, depending on how the ACC title game goes. This is huge for just the second year of Mack Brown being back.
Absolutely. And, you know, we applaud this in the midst of, you know, a lot of question marks and, you know, thoughts of, are we the crazy ones? You know, we ask students to come back to school and then we end up with, you know, the clusters of the COVID. And so we send all the students, you know, online, but yet we still have athletes competing and getting on airplanes and, you know, congregating and working with one another. So some people could say this is completely backwards and we're all crazy. But that being said, the Tar Heels did have a very, very good year. And you're not going to believe this one, but the last time we were at the Orange Bowl, or excuse me, I should say a major bowl, Mack Brown hadn't been born yet. Neither had Roy Williams. In fact, the ACC hadn't been born yet. It's been since January 2nd, 1950. And if Clemson can beat Notre Dame on Saturday in the championship game, we have to get that bid, because the way the formula is that Clemson will go to the college football playoff and Irish, a good chance, will still get a spot. And then the highest rated ACC team gets to go to the Orange Bowl. So that should be us. And so everybody's going to be cheering for Clemson to make that happen, because it's a big, big win for Mack Brown.
Yeah. And hopefully hopefully a close win, right? Because you don't want Clemson to blow out Notre Dame so far, so much it knocks them all the way back to seventh, because then they go to the Orange Bowl and we don't.
That's right.
Yep.
But, you know, we're just thinking about Tar Heel football and the success that he's brought. And we all knew, X's and O's, no doubt, he knows the game. But what we were hoping for is just to change the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had the opportunity to connect with Coach, and just hearing his spirit around culture and around Black Lives Matter, and knowing that he's been able to, as he says, put the wall around North Carolina, as in the best players should play for UNC. And he's got one of the top classes coming in. So it's just good time for Carolina football. We owe so much to Coach Brown and his staff.
Yeah, and you and I talked, and I guess this was a couple of years ago at this point now, or I guess more, maybe a year and a few months ago, at the very beginning of Mack's second tenure at Carolina, and we were talking about how much a school or a program needed to do in order to get up to that point of being a top level competitor and competing for major bowls and spots in the college football playoff. And do you have to sell your soul as a university in order to get to that point? And if so, is it really worth it? And it was a good conversation. So far, though, Mack has gotten Carolina up to that point where we're in that conversation, and not only has Carolina not sold its soul or had to do that, certainly not yet. The culture is still positive and strong, and we have a really good football program at the same time.
Well, you know, being in an elite school, you know, like North Carolina, where the academics come first, you know, there's always the question, you know, what rules do you have to break to compete? And we're really talking about the Southeastern Conference, where most of us who are in this space know that there are things that happen in that league that would that are shameful, that go against a university's mission and values. And so I believe that you can do this. You can win in both areas. But where the question mark is for myself and many others in this space is, can you do it consistently?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it consistently? Because what Mack Brown has done in his staff is he's elevated us to that next level. And with that becomes more pressure from donors, from fans, keeping up with the Joneses. You know, how many more millions will we have to raise now to have a locker room like Alabama? You know, what will it take to get Mac Brown not to retire when he wanted to retire? As in, you know, well, if I stay in order to compete and make the position attractive, then I need a $8 million salary. And who follows Coach Brown? So that's the danger of all this. It is definitely commercialized, NCAA Division I, big-time football and basketball, and with that becomes the pressures, and who is going to succumb to that? It's tough to stay in this space consistently for years without looking at who's doing what they shouldn't do. So that's what we have to pay attention to.
Well, that's where football stands right now. Turning to basketball, a program that has been elite for decades and decades. Obviously, 2020 kind of a forgettable year for Carolina men's basketball, the way the season ended back in March. But this season, things are still looking pretty solid. Carolina's in the top 25, got a big game coming up against Kentucky tomorrow. What's your take on Carolina basketball right now?
Well, it's definitely different from football. In the sense that you don't have to take care of, quote unquote, you know, 20 or 30 guys. If you're going to, you know, well, I'll just be direct. If you're going to break the rules or skirt around them, or you don't have as many guys that you have to take care of. There might be three or four of them. And so, you know, basketball is a lot different. Now, the nice thing about Carolina is that we can lean on our tradition. And so there might be some players who are demanding XYZ under the table from Carolina. But the other thing is that you have so many elite players who want to come here because we win. You know, we win flat out. And who doesn't want to have the big stage, to have that interlocking NC on your chest, and to have to be in the same family with, you know, a Kobe and a Michael Jordan? And many elite players will come for that. So you don't have to, you know, break the rules and skirt, you know, all of that stuff. So that's the thing that's nice. When we think about, you know, the Blue Bloods, Carolina is there. You know, if not number one or number two, we're always there. And so having the opportunity to play Kentucky, we own the series. Right now we're up 24-16, but Kentucky has won the last three games, three out of four. And so we want this win. It's important that we shoot the ball well right now. We're only shooting 27%. From the three-point line, so that's going to have to change. The nice thing is that it takes a while for Kentucky to get into that rare air, because once again, they have a very, very young team, and they're off to a 1-4 start. So they're going to look to puff out their chest and beat North Carolina, and we're looking to be better and win the game that we're supposed to win. So we'll pay attention to that. I'm looking forward to it. I love when the Blue Bloods play against each other.
So speaking with Debbie Stroman, we got to wrap up, but as we do, this weekend is a big one for Carolina sports. You've got UNC basketball against Kentucky. You haven't mentioned UNC women's basketball yet, but they got a big win yesterday over Syracuse, and they've got another one coming up on Sunday against Wake Forest. And football doesn't play, but we'll find out by the end of the weekend where the team is going for their bowl game, if it's going to be the Orange Bowl or somewhere else. How do you see the weekend shaking out?
Well, it's going to be exciting. I think everybody is at the point now where we're excited about the upcoming holiday. For those of us who celebrate Christmas, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of folks outside in the midst of the weather, getting the lights up and putting up the Christmas trees or buying the trees. Very, very festive. But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of reflection this weekend around this year. You know, we're closing out. Most people are winding down their work projects. And I think it's just going to be a nice time to spend time with family and friends with physical distancing, and watch some sports and maybe watch some movies and things. I think it's going to be a great weekend for sports. I'm expecting a big weekend for Carolina sports. We should be happy. And definitely, it is a great ACC football championship game schedule. I think many, many people in our league who love football will be watching Saturday night. I know I'm excited for it.
Check out If You Only Knew here on 97.9 The Hill. Dr. Debbie Stroman, as always, thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Thank you, and I want to give a big electronic hug, e-hug to Ron Stutt for a wonderful, wonderful career. Knowing him going all the way back in the mid-80s as a student here, and now seeing the evolution of Ron Stutt to retirement. And I look forward to listening to you in the morning, and I know we'll continue to dialogue and continue our fun banter back and forth with sports.